So the first line of the story in our gospel today that introduces the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector is important to our understanding. It says, Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. This tells us that he is telling this story to the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the keepers of the law. They studied the law and claimed the authority of Moses to interpret the law and pronounce judgment on others based on that law. This parable is also being told to us. We are those people who, from time to time, may think that we know the right way to worship and pray and believe, and even maybe point out how others don't quite get it right, or at least don't do it as well as us. We might be so sure that we're right that we don't even recognize that we are guilty of the same sins as the Pharisees. When I think about this, I'm reminded of a story. Once there was a Washington, D.C. taxi driver and a Texas preacher who died on the same day. When they showed up at the pearly gates, the preacher, confident of his righteous status with God, walked right up to the gates, expecting to be welcomed into heaven. St. Peter told him, though, the gates of heaven were not open to him. He had not earned a spot in heaven. Then the taxi driver stepped up to the gates, and St. Peter welcomed him into heaven with open arms. "Wait," the preacher said. He's just a taxi driver. He never did anything for the church. In fact, he was a horrible driver, and he scared people in traffic while he was driving. And I spent my life preaching the gospel. How is it that he's getting into heaven and I'm not?" "Well," explained St. Peter, "we base our decisions here on results. And while you preached, a lot of people slept. But while that terrible taxi driver drove, people prayed without ceasing." So what's this story of the Pharisee and the tax collector really about? We hear this story of the self-righteous Pharisee who exalts himself, that he will be humbled in the end, and of the humble tax collector who will be exalted in the end. The Pharisee thanks God that he is not like other people, like those thieves and adulterers or the tax collector. He lists the good things he does. He fasts twice a week. He gives a tenth of his income. We're told that he has gone to the temple to pray, to give thanks to God. So why was Jesus calling him out as a bad guy? On the other hand, we have the tax collector. He was a bad guy. He was a known sinner, one of the worst kind of sinners. He worked with the Romans and took advantage of his own people. But Jesus says that this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. Justified here means receiving God's grace. So it is the humble but sinful tax collector and not the righteous Pharisee in this story who's the recipient of God's grace. In a number of places in the New Testament, the Pharisees are shown as opponents of Jesus. They're the keepers of the law, the ones who know the laws of God. They are the institutional knowledge bearers. They make sure that people honor God by doing the right things. But Jesus has declared earlier in Luke's gospel that although they do these things outwardly, they are full of sin in their hearts. Tax collectors, on the other hand, worked for the Romans who oppressed the Jewish people. Tax collectors forced their own people to pay the Romans and took a generous cut off the top for themselves. They were dishonest, despicable people who were willing to sell out to the Romans and take from their own people to make themselves wealthy. So once again, we wonder, why did Jesus tell this parable? Do we learn that the Pharisee is self-righteous and prideful, so God doesn't listen to his prayers or prayers of others who are self-righteous? And the tax collector's humble, even though he's a notorious sinner, so God listens to his prayers. From this, we might assume that we now know how to earn God's love. Don't worry about the sinning, just be humble like the tax collector and not self-righteous like the Pharisee. But the problem with that way of thinking is that then we sound an awful lot like the Pharisee. See, God, I'm humble, not like those self-righteous people. The question we should ask ourselves is, which one of these men in the story understood that God's love is all-powerful, abundant, and available to us all? That the only thing we have to do is accept it, to accept our complete dependence on God's mercy. God's love doesn't have to be earned. In fact, we are not capable of earning it. But God's grace is freely given to all. It is love and salvation that is unearned and undeserved and given in abundance by God. The Pharisee appeared outwardly to be a good person, obeying the laws, praying, fasting, and giving. The tax collector was a terrible person. The Pharisee knew in his own mind that he was a good person, and he knew that he did all the right things to earn God's love. In his prayers, he thanked God and then gave a progress report, listing all the things he was doing, and went home knowing that he was in control of his future because he was doing all the right things. In his prayer, he was telling God the reasons he was a good person, thanking God that he was not a sinful person like the tax collector or those other sinners. It never occurred to him that he might also be a sinner, that he should recognize his need for God's mercy instead of thanking God that he was not so bad and telling the reasons he deserved God's love. The sinful tax collector, on the other hand, who was truly a dreadful person, recognized his own sinfulness and humbly asked for God's mercy. He recognized that he did not deserve God's love or forgiveness, and he asked for mercy. So the story is about two very different men praying before God, two men who are really quite similar. They both need God's love. They both need God's forgiveness. They are both loved abundantly and forgiven by God. But one is open to receiving that love, and one believes he deserves it. During our worship, before we receive communion, in the Eucharistic prayer, we pray together a prayer of confession. We say this prayer to help us each remember that we are sinners who need God's grace. It helps us to make ourselves ready to approach the altar rail with humility, to receive God's grace through the body and blood of Christ, through that visible sign of the bread and wine, acknowledging our relationship with God as grateful recipients of his grace. The story of the Pharisee and the tax collector is really all about our relationship with God, about having a relationship in which we recognize our own sinfulness and know that God's grace is given to us. About having a relationship where our focus is on God's grace in our lives and not what we have done for God. We do good things, like praising and tithing and serving others in response to our relationship with God, not in order to earn God's grace or to earn our entry into heaven, into everlasting life with Jesus Christ. And in our relationship with God, we must know that God's grace is also given to those whom we might think are less worthy, or maybe not worthy at all. We must remember that we have fallen short of what God wants us to be, of the goodness and mercy that God wants for each and every one of us. And maybe he hopes that we will share with each other that mercy that we've received, even when we can't see God in each other. In the coming week, as you're saying your prayers, I encourage you to think about all of this. As we say our prayers, let us think about the prayers of the tax collector and the Pharisee. Then, in our relationship with God, through our prayers this week, instead of telling God what we've done or what we need, let's simply acknowledge our own sinfulness and ask for God's mercy in all that we do. There are times when I begin to pray and I struggle for words. In those times, I like to return to the beautiful prayers that are in our Book of Common Prayer. There's one in there for guidance that I think is especially appropriate when reflecting on the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. I'll close with this. Let us pray. Direct us, O Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended, we may glorify your holy name and finally, by your mercy, obtain everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.